Good morning again. Jo-san, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this joy of knowing you as Lord and Savior as we spend some time, O God, to hear your word. We pray, God, speak to us, O God. We want to hear your word loud and clear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A young father was reading a magazine. He was busy reading. He didn't want to be disturbed because he was heavily engrossed in the particular magazine. It was his little child, her little daughter, was just sitting on his lap, you know, as kids, they always tend to disturb. And so the father was a bit annoyed, right? What do you do when you're annoyed with your child? You know, she was trying to turn the pages as the father was just trying to read. And so he was really frustrated, you know. He didn't want to tell the daughter to go away. And so what he did, he looked at the page, and one of the page, he tore the page and gave it to the child, before giving to the child. By the way, it's nothing to do with our church members, right? I didn't see that happening. He tore the page, and then he took the page, and he tore into pieces, right? And he gave it to the daughter. He said, you know, go. I know there's a world map there which I've torn, right? Go and fix it. And so she went to the room, and within 5 minutes she came back. And the father was astonished. He said, "Wow, that's wonderful, right?" And because she fixed the page well, that the dad was able to see the world map, you know, it was clear. And so the father asked, "How did you do that? You know, I myself will have difficulty to, you know, fix the world map. I do not know where Asia is. Sometimes people say they do not know where is Singapore. Some people say Singapore is in some part of the world, right?" And so, and the father was so astonished. And, you know, very interestingly, the girl, young girl, said, "You know, Dad, the other side of the page, I saw the face of Jesus. And so I fixed the face of Jesus, and then I realized the world map has actually formed its shape." You know, when I was reading this story, I was telling myself, you know, I think the more, as Christians, the more we focus on Christ, we get a clearer picture about who we are, right? We get a clearer picture about what's happening in the world. We get a clearer picture of what God wants us to do in this world or in this life and who we are. I think the more focused, the more I look at Scripture, the more I look about Christ, I begin to see myself. I see what God has planned for my life, you know, the great purposes that God has for me. The more I look into the world, what happens? I think I become worldly-minded, right? I become distorted in my thinking. I'm just dragged away according to the pleasures of the world or the pattern of the world. And so when you look at Matthew 28, it's a very powerful chapter, right? Many a times the Christians, what happened, I think Easter is the highest point of, you know, Christian life. Yes, I agree. If you go to churches, right, the largest attendance, right? I've been a pastor for many years. I realize Easter attracts a lot of people, right? Sometimes we need to have overflow rooms, right? We need to have extra chairs being ordered. And Christmas is another season. And after that, what happens? Either it goes down, or, right? The attendance goes down, or even platters, right? And so it's a very sad thing. But when you look at the scriptures today, it is another important thing that Christ is speaking to the disciples. These are the last words of Christ to the disciples when he gave to them. Last words of important words. You know, I've buried so many people in my pastoral ministry. One of the things I always struggle is to talk to them at the last time, because in the last moments, if they are breathing their last breath, they tend to talk to you a lot of stuff that's happening in their heart, right? They share their heartbeat with you. And finally, they will also tell you, "Pastor Vincent, don't share it to anyone. Keep it to yourself." Right? It is always there. So last words are important words. Last words are lasting words many a times. And so Jesus is giving the last words. I think many of us have actually read it. Right? It happens in other passages also. You will see it in Mark. You will also see it in Acts chapter 24. You see in Acts chapter 1:8. Mark 16, John 20, right? You see the great commission that is given to the church, right? God has given us the great commission to the church, and he wants us to follow. But the more I look at it, the more I read this passage, you know, it is our marching orders for our lives. And this is what God wants us to be found doing. This is what God wants the church to do. You know, the more I look at it, I also realize, you know, whatever Jesus have done, his teaching, right, his instruction, his miracles, everything is just compressed here. And he says, okay, this is the thing, right? This is the final product, and this is what I expect, and this is what I want you, the church, to be found doing. So a couple of things, we will just look at this particular passage, Matthew chapter 28. Some of us might be very familiar, but I thought it would be good for us to revisit, right? To revisit, look at it, and see where is our heartbeat, where is our desire, you know, where are we as a church, where are we as people who love God, right? What's our mission? What's the purpose? You know, what is God's design for our lives? The first thing I realize, it is not just a great commission, but it's the greatest commission that Christ has given to us. The first thing I see, it's the greatest authority that's been revealed. You know, God is not just saying, you know, I want you to do this. But he wants us to see who he is. He wants us to know that he's a great God that we serve, that we love him. Right? Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So I think it means, I think he has all the authority, right? Jesus has all the authority. Very interesting word when you look at the Greek word authority, right? The word authority means he has all the right to say, and we are expected to obey. That's the way it is translated in the Greek word. So Jesus says, and all authority is given to me, right? In heaven, on earth has been given to me. Right? He has all the authority. You know, sometimes I ask myself, why did Jesus use the word given to me? Did he not have it before, right? Did he receive it because, you know, he did whatever was expected? I think if we look at scriptures very carefully, right, we realize, I think, when Jesus came to the world, the word of God is very clear, right? He emptied himself, right? He emptied himself so that he will live a life among us, and now he has taken it back. It's not that something he's receiving in new. It's not a reward that he's receiving from God because of the work that he has done. He has emptied himself. He came as a human being, right? Feeling for us, being with us, being tempted, right? But at the same time, I think it means that he's getting it back. He's resuming the thing that has been empowered to him. So in other words, he is the Lord. And so as a church, we should always realize that we are called, right? And the greatest thing that we should realize, you know, I have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this God is a God who's all-powerful. Right? How do we see our God today? Do we see our God as a very small one? But Jesus is saying, you know, I have all the authority. And so he tells his disciples, go, right? Make disciples, preach, baptize, and lo, I'm with you always till the end of the age. And so as a church, you know, we should boldly go because we have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord who has the power over heaven and on earth, my friend. Nothing is compared to him. Very interesting. It also means it is in the present tense that Jesus is talking, right? It's I have it, right? I have it here. If you look further into the word authority, I like Greek, and the further you look at it, if you look at some of the countries, if you realize, you know, the authority, the sole authority is not given to the leadership, right? There is a legislative authority, there is judicial authority, and many times the president or the prime minister has the authority. So the authority is always divided. But the way the word authority is used here is different. It is not divided. He is the authority. It is not judicial authority that's taken care by a certain group of people, or legislative authority, or the president having a certain rights and responsibilities and duties and authority. But this authority It's everything that he has, right? He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He has authority over us. He has authority to fulfill the great commission that he wants us to be engaged in. I think as Christians, we need to ask ourselves, right? Do we recognize the authority of Christ in our lives? We worship God, we praise him. Do we realize that, you know, I serve a God who's full of authority? It's not divided authority, he has sole authority. He's the creator, the almighty God, the wonderful God. He has the right, to do anything and everything that he wants. Do we recognize that authority in our lives? Do we give ourselves to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, you know the best, right? And I just give myself to you. And so Jesus is wanting the disciples to know when he was sending them, you know, that I have all the authority, right, on earth. It's given to me. And secondly, you know, he says, right, I want you to, he gives us the greatest assignment. It's just not an ordinary thing. Dear friends, whatever we do today, you know, let us know that we are doing great things for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he says, make disciples. Very familiar passage, right? We know, yes, interesting, in the Greek word, right? It's a main verb here, verb which is mentioned here, and it is also an imperative here. In other words, it's a command. It's not an option, right? Every child of God has to make disciples. It's a command. It's an imperative, my friend. It's the main verb. The other things go, it's a participle. Baptize is a participle. Teach is a participle. But to make disciples, that's the main thrust here, the main goal of every child of God. Every church, my friend, has to make disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we realize, you know, we baptize person and we ask them to go, you know, and give out tracts, evangelize. But the main function of the church or even our lives is to make disciples. That's the main verb here. That's the thrust here, you know, that Jesus is teaching us. Sometimes when you do a survey, I was trying to look at a survey, but I was not able to get. Like, what is the main thrust of the church or the main function of the church? Some people will say fellowship is the main thing of the church. To some people, right, it's relationship is the main thing of the church. To some, you know, it might be the music ministry might be the main function of the church, or even children's ministry or youth ministry, adult ministry. They are wonderful ministry and God wants us to glorify him. But the main thing, you and I, a call to make disciples, my friend, whether you like it or not, it's not an option. It's a command that Christ has given to every faithful disciples of him, that we are called to make disciples. Even in a church, right, we need to make disciples. It's not an option that God has given to us. And you look at the word very carefully, right? It says, you make disciples of all nations, right? Let me, before I jump into the word disciple, of all nations, it's not just going to another country. The word here means every people group. That's what the Greek word means. Every people group, my friend. It's not because I went to another country to do missions. That's wonderful. That's great. That I'm not saying no. But look at Toronto. Look at Canada. We have missions at our doorstep, my friend. Our neighbor looks different from us. Missions is our doorstep, and God says every ethnic group, every people group, that's what, you know, Jesus was giving the Great Commission to them. All nations, every ethnic, every group, you know, because God loves them, right? But unfortunately, right, it's sometimes human beings, right, we become segregated, right? And our circle is too small. It's only our friends who look like us. It's sad, right? It's sad. But God, you know, Jesus says, I want you to be making disciples of all people group who will totally look different from you, my friend, who speak a different language. I think that's the kind of kingdom mentality that Jesus wants us to have of all people group. How do we see others today? Right? Do we see the way crisis. And then so crisis, I want you, right, to make even disciples of them. What is a disciple here? A disciple, I think all of us know, right? He's a learner. He's also a follower. I think that's important for us. We need to make people, right, following the Lord Jesus Christ, learning, right? Learning and also following the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to the word again, I think it means, right, the person is learning the command of Jesus, right? Learning to follow what Christ have actually taught. I think that's the function of each and every one of us, right? Many a times we ask people to, you know, accept Jesus Christ. Once they make a decision, they sign the card, that's it, right? We forget about them totally, right? It is not decision, it is disciple making. It is not just scribbling on the card and saying the, you know, or saying the sinner's prayer, which is wonderful, but it's more than that. It's disciple. In other words, making them submit to the teachings of Christ and following Christ. In other words, carrying the cross, my friend. We are teaching them God's word. We are making them love God's word. We are exposing them to Christian values, right? When I was pastoring, I've seen some church leadership. Some of my leaders in the past would tell me, "Pastor, we should have more people." I say, "Why?" I say, "It's more is good." I say, "Yes." But you know, their motive is more people, more money. Right? If more people come to church, receive more money. And so we will have much more surplus. That's not the way, my friend. I think Jesus wants us to do, right, to make disciples, to make people to learn of Jesus, to learn of Him, to come under His authority, to be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, are we making disciples? Are we just stopping ourselves, right? I've shared God's word, now I've done my part. I think God wants us to make disciples. In other words, God wants us to follow up with that particular person, teaching them the things of God, making them faithful followers of Jesus Christ, right? People who will love God and continue to mature. And so how do I make disciples? I think when you look at the word, the first word, the first participle is, right? We need to be go, right? It says go. Wonderful word, right? It's a wonderful word, go. And sometimes as Christians, we tend to wait for God to give the altar call for us, right? And then we make an altar call on Missions Month, which is October. It's coming on Mission Sunday. The speaker will say, "Who want to go?" And we put our hands and all. That's wonderful. Great things, altar calls. I believe in altar calls and all that. But when you look at the word carefully, it is not a call that is just given to us now itself. The word, it's a different meaning altogether. It means we are already on the move. Right? God is not asking us to start right now. No, no, no. That's not a new start altogether, my friend. He's saying, you're already on the move. Right? You are going. You're not going to start your journey. You've started your journey. That's the meaning of the word. As you're going, you're making disciples. You're sharing God's word to them. Don't wait for God to call you, my friend. God has already called us. God already sent us. Don't wait for God to give us another call unless it is a full-time ministry. But God has already called us, each and every one of us, as we are moving, as we are living. We are sharing God's word. The word go in the Greek also means, right, it is, right, we are on mission. In other words, our lives are on mission. Right? We are not waiting for opportunity. We are, right, we just go because the opportunity is there. We are on the move. We are on missions. Right, it's not because I've gone over a mission trip, you know, or Grand Rapids. I've done my mission. I've gone to, you know, Norway. I've done wonderful. Right, every day we are on the move. Every day we are on missions, my friend. Don't wait for another mission program to happen. And according to this word, every day you are on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you like it or not. What kind of gospel are we sharing? What is the message we are proclaiming to people? And that's what Jesus is saying. You are on the move. You're on mission. Right? And you are sharing God's word to them. So in other words, it's very intentional in our life, right? I do not know, right? How do you see yourself when you walk in your workplace? Right? Do you see yourself, you know, I'm here to work? Or do you see yourself, you know, I'm on a mission now? That's an opportunity to share. That's an opportunity to show that I belong to Christ, right? If someone, if your friend says, you know, I'm having a problem, there's an opportunity to say, can I pray with you? Right? And we are on mission. And God has given us that mission to do. Right? And secondly, the second participle here is, you know, go and baptize, right? Matt got baptized last week, and we have another elderly person also who got baptized. It's a wonderful word, getting baptized, right? It's a wonderful event. But the way baptized, right, whenever we use the word baptism, right, we are so excited, we rejoice as a church, we come together, right, two congregations rejoicing because someone has professed to be a Christian. But baptism is more than professing Jesus as Lord and Savior. In other words, baptism means I identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. I make a public confession, you know, that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a faithful follower of Jesus. But I'm saying that I identify with Christ. Like Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what Paul says, my friend. I think baptism is identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And we are also saying, you know, yes, I baptize. In other words, I identify into the body of Christ. I become part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just going through the water. It's more than that, my friend. It's saying that I identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be his servant. I want to be his disciple. I want to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I want to be like Christ. In the early church, you know, very interesting that people were called disciples. But later on, you know, the Roman world was making fun of the Christians. So in Acts, you will see the first time it mentioned the word Christian appears. The word Christian is a word, you know, the Roman people were just making fun. Little Christ, that's the meaning of the word Christian. Little Christ, right? And that's where the name that we got. We are little Christ. Are we little Christ today? Are we so-called Christians? Can we boldly say, like the way the Roman world, right, that we are little Christ? I'm a little Christ. I identify myself with Christ. When people look at me, they see Jesus in me. That's baptism, right? So go and baptize. Let people be identified with Christ. It's more than decision. And then he also says, teach them, right? Teaching them, right? What do you teach them, right? It says in verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, right? Teach them Jesus, right? Teach them everything that I have commanded you. All. But very sad, when I was looking, you know, in one of the writings, I think if you realize the days were come, but, you know, people who don't want to hear God's word, right? We want to hear words that will just soothe our ears. And so here, you know, we need to teach them everything. And so as a church, as individuals, I think what is God wanting us to do? We need to do disciple making. And how do I do that, right? We need to be going on mission. In other words, every day we are on mission. Wherever you are, in the mall, you are on mission. In your workplace, you are on mission. In your cafeteria, you are on mission, my friend. You are finding opportunity to share. You are bringing people to identify with Christ, baptizing them. In other words, they identify with Christ and they say, yes, I made a decision. I want to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You teach them, right, everything that they will have the spirit of obedience, obeying God's word. Let me finish with the last one, right? The last one is the greatest assurance that Jesus is giving. How many of you like sandwiches? By the way, today we have sandwiches, right? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, when I say sandwiches, I remember today sandwiches, okay? First, I'll try the sandwich first, then you guys can try later. I'm just joking. You know, if you realize sandwiches, sometimes when I look at the Great Commission, it's like a sandwich, right? God has given us the Great Commission in terms of making disciples, but He knows us, right? We like sandwiches. He knows that we like hamburger. And so the first stop is, He says, all authority, right? And then He gives us the assignment. And then lastly, the last bread, if you realize, He gives us the great assurance. So don't worry, I'm on top of you. I'm just below you, right? You can enjoy your journey, right? I think, and so I see it's like a sandwich. God says, you know, I have the authority, and don't be afraid. I'm with you always, right? And He says, you know, He's giving us the great assurance that you and I need, my friend. I think the Lord knows it's not an easy task, right? Yes, Pastor Vincent, it's easy to preach by saying, go. It's easy to say, go and baptize, you know, go and teach. It's easy, right? I think the Lord knows it's not easy. It's a difficult task, right? It is a step of faith, right? It's going into another person's life and saying, you know, do you know Jesus Christ, right? Sometimes you see as you are intruding into their space kind of a stuff. I think Jesus knows it is difficult. And so He says, you know, I am with you always. In other words, you know, very when you look at the word very carefully, He says, you know, lo. Interesting word in the Greek. It means pay attention. That's what He's saying. Pay attention. Don't worry. Pay close attention that I am with you always. Because God wants us to remember, don't forget, right? Don't be worried. You know, I'm with you always. My personal presence with you is with you always. Can you imagine when we are going for the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord says, you know, I am with you always. My personal presence is there, right? I, right, the one whose authority am, right, the present tense, in every moment I'm with you, in every opportunity that, you know, God says, you know, I am with you always. We can count on God, my friend. If you're afraid, always remember the Lord says, I'm with you always. If you're scared to share your Christ love to a friend, always remember that I can count on God and I'm not alone. Right? You just go. And let me tell you, God gives you the words. God gives you the words to say. But I think when we go, you know, God gives us the words, my friend. I want you to do an exercise before we pray. Right? I like to travel. My wife and I, we love to travel. And I know some of you love to travel. Just want you to imagine of this, right? A wilderness. Right? Just take a moment to imagine. Another one is a swamp, right? The third image is a rushing river. By the way, in my travels with my wife, I've seen all these three places. The reason I'm putting this, you know, it reminds us, right? Either we can be a wilderness, we can be a swamp, we can be a rushing river. A wilderness looks nice, but unfortunately it's very dry. There's no life there, right? But it's nice to see. It looks nice, right? You take good photos, pictures, but there is no life there. Sometimes in our Christian life, right, it's so nice, but there is no life. Right? Our life becomes so routine that we come, we do. Our spiritual exercise becomes just as like another exercise or ritual. There is no life. A swamp is nice, right? It takes water. But the more it takes water, let me tell you, there is no outlet. Initially it looks nice, the fresh water comes in, right? But then when the water stays too long, right, it stagnates. It smells. You don't want to go near. You see a lot of growth that's happening, right? You don't want to swim because it's dirty water. It's contaminated. It's not clean water for drinking. Sometimes Christians can be like that, right? We receive, right? Nice. But if there is no outlet, if you're not sharing, if you're not speaking about Christ, let me tell you, it can become contaminated. Right? There's no growth inside. And nothing good is actually happening in us. Lastly is the rushing river. Can you realize? It's so vibrant. There's a lot of movement that's happening. It's fresh water. You're seeing life there. You're seeing vibrancy in that particular image. You know, when I was looking at these three pictures, I was telling, you know, God wants us to be like the rushing river. That's live. That's clean. That's energizing. Right? It's motivating kind of a thing. It's life altogether. And that's what the Great Commission is all about, my friend. God says, you know, I'm giving you not an assignment, I'm giving you the greatest assignment. Make disciples. Can you imagine? You know, Jesus is giving us the greatest responsibilities. It's not just an assignment to be part of this ministry, but he says, you know, I want you to make disciples of me. And so I want you to go wherever you are my ambassador. I trust you. Right? Baptize them, teach them whatever I've taught you. I trust you. Don't worry, because all authority is given to me. Be not be afraid, because I'll give you the word, because lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. Who are we today, my friend? Are we a wilderness? Are we a swamp? Are we a rushing river? Is water flowing out of us? Let's pray. I was trying to imagine myself before Jesus ascended into heaven. As I was reading this particular passage, I was asking myself, if I were one of the disciples, I would be surprised to hear that this God, he has faith of me. Even though there were moments in my life I betrayed him or denied him or even doubted him, this God wants me to be his ambassador. And he sends me by his name. The more I read this passage, I am so humble, my friend. God says, all authority is given to me. Go. What are we waiting for? God says, I have all the authority. Do not be afraid of this world, because this world belongs to me. From the heaven to the earth, it belongs to me, all authority. I am the creator of this world. I'm the only one. You need not fear. God is giving us the greatest task, my friend, in our lives. He says, I want you to make disciples. And so he says, you know, wherever you are, you're on a mission. Right? Make them identify themselves with Christ. Baptize them. teach them all the things I've teaching them, so that they will not be just be informed, teaching them to be, to have the spirit of obedience, teaching them to obey, teaching them to mature in the faith. And do not worry, I'll give you the words, because I'm with you always. You're not alone. I believe sometimes God brings certain images to our minds, my friend, even now. Maybe a friend, maybe someone in your workplace, maybe your relative. Maybe God wants us to share His love to them. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the confidence that you have in us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you want us to be your people, O God, who will do the things that you did in this world, Father. You came to make us disciples of yours. And you want us to continue the mission of God that you did in this world. And so, Lord, we pray, Father, help us to have the courage, the boldness, Father. And help us to know that we go in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have a great task ahead of us, Father. And not to fear, because Jesus is with us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.